she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
Morning.
Waddle's here with us.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil Summers. We'll be here till 10 o'clock, taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, or your fan text at 43733. And you can call Autoflex. David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234. 1234 888-234-1234 if you live way out in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get to Autoflex by reaching at autoflex.com. By the way, if you're interested in following any of the stories or the particulars about the stories we do today, go to autoflex.com, like us, and look at our Facebook page, because all these stories and a lot more stories are listed right there at the Autoflex Facebook page.
And if you are out at the Dallas Auto Show this weekend... What's going on?
Yeah, it's really, really neat. It's the Dallas Auto Show. Actually, it's the Dallas-Fort Worth Auto Show now.
Oh, okay.
Because the two dealer associations have joined. So now it's the DFW Auto Dealers Association producing the show. It's at the Convention Center. Adults are $12. Seniors over 65 are $5. Kids under 12, completely free. And if you bring a can of food, you'll get $2 off of any ticket. And, of course, that's for the North Texas Food Bank.
Yay. I like that they're already doing food drives at this time of year. Usually it's not until the fall.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good idea. And you can see pretty well any car you might want to see there. And the really cool stuff, of course, is the concept cars that the manufacturers are rolling out to let everyone look at them. And that's where the future cars come from, are the concept cars of today.
So if any of our listeners have been to the car show already, definitely let us know what's going on out there. What's cool?
So,
what have you seen? What's your favorite car?
So if the car dealers have joined together and made it the DFW Auto Show, does that mean they don't have one in Fort Worth?
That's what that
correct
means.
All right, so you got to get there.
Yes. Yeah, if you want to see the new cars, come to the Dallas Convention Center. It opened at 9 a.m. this morning, and we'll be open today and tomorrow. And I go every year. I try to go every year because it's just all the cars are there. It's great.
Yeah.
You see everything.
Yeah, the auto shows are always fun, and then they have the concessions, and you can just walk around eating popcorn, looking at cars.
Okay, now I'm a little weird about this, but all these people that carry cameras around though and take the pictures of the cars. Now, if I'm at a big car expo where they've got a lot of custom cars on the street, I'll take some pictures because I am a car lover.
Well, in fact, we went to a convention. You know, it was a leasing convention, and really got like, we did not know there was going to be a car show. And this was an equipment leasing convention that we went to with banks and things like that. Wake up the next morning, and there is a classic car show going on. This is in Monterey, California.
It's the big one.
How
it's the
cool.
Monterey Classic Car Show.
They had 1,000 cars.
They had almost 1,000 custom cars there.
Wow.
It was incredible. Now, I took lots of pictures. I was really glad I took a camera with me. Of course, you don't not take a camera to Northern California. It's a beautiful place. But some really incredible cars. And what did you see there, David?
Well, the Shelby Daytona Cobra. We saw one there. There were only 9 of them ever built.
Really?
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that car in a story a little later on about where you put your money, and if you'd put your money in a car several years ago, how much it might be worth today.
Okay. Well, first, let's get into some of these funny driving laws, because I always love hearing about crazy laws that other states have, or, you know, things get put into place in 1700s and 1800s, and they never get... taken off the law book.
Right.
So suddenly you have these crazy laws that don't apply anymore, but they're still in place.
Of course, we weren't driving cars back then.
That's true. But even other laws, just with, you know, animals and everything else.
Well, yeah, and some of them were sort of practical too, because in Arizona, every year, people get swept off the roads because they drive through washouts.
Right.
And then it costs thousands of dollars to drag their car out of the mud and get it back on the road again once the rain has stopped, when they're having the monsoon season there. So now there is a fine that goes up to $2,000 an incident if you drive across a washout and your car gets flooded and washed away. Guess what the $2,000 is for? To pay them back for recovering your car.
Oh.
So that you pay for the wrecker and the expense of the personnel and everything to get your car back on the road again.
So The funny thing is, a lot of us here in Texas don't realize that they have monsoons in Arizona.
That
you
is
know,
true.
We just think about Arizona as
yeah.
sand
dry and
desert, and you don't realize, oh, but the thing is, they flood in 6 inches of water. You mm-hmm. know, your car gets washed away in 6 inches of water. They don't have drainage there
right.
like we do here because they don't get the rain.
And when it rains,
right?
And when it rains out there, it pours during monsoon season. It really comes down.
That's where they make the songs out of that.
I like or you know, mottos for salt companies. I like in Colorado that it's illegal to ride a horse under the influence. Now, I'm not sure if it's the horse that can't be drunk or if it's the rider that can't be drunk, but I do know that in 2009, a guy in a cowboy hat was arrested for riding under the influence. And so the police had him all balled up and ready to go, handcuffed in the back seat of the car, and then they realized, what do we do with the horse?
Right.
Aww.
You can't call a wrecker.
Nope. Can't tow it.
You can't tow it.
What'd they do with him?
They called around, and they found a blacksmith shop. And the guy agreed to impound the horse for them since they couldn't carry it away with the wrecker. And they got it to his barn, and the horse slept in the barn. And the riding while intoxicated guy slept it off in his cell.
He thought
he
was
safe. That's a good story that he can tell later.
Okay. Now, I was surprised at this. In Anchorage, Alaska, it is illegal to strap your dog or any other live creature to the roof of your vehicle.
I wonder if Mitt Romney knows that rule.
I don't know. Does he strap live animals to the roof of his vehicle?
He did, yeah. Like 30 years ago, they went on a family vacation, and he put his dog Seamus on the roof through storms and through this terrible weather. And
it made Seamus a tougher dog.
But not in Alaska, probably.
No, it wasn't
this
in Alaska.
In Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's illegal there because of how cold it is.
It is.
I'm guessing. Mm-hmm.
Probably. It's tough on the dog.
I wouldn't strap my animal to the...
Me okay. neither.
Was the dog in a kennel?
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he was in a kennel, but he was so scared that he was going to the bathroom on the car throughout the trip, and it was freezing temperatures, and it was... I mean, it's really bad if you read up on it. But it was a long, long, long time ago, so most people have forgotten about it.
Okay. Until now.
Yeah.
Okay. In California... A car without a driver may not exceed 60 miles per hour. That's on the books, guys. That's a real law.
That's a good one.
And you
only in California would they really feel inclined to make that law.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, why would you waste the ink and paper?
Right.
That's clearly planning for driverless cars,
mm-hmm.
for drive-by-wire cars. Okay. Here's the one that really, really got me. Montana. It's illegal to leave a sheep unattended in the cab of your truck or car. Meh. Now, who leaves a sheep in the
truck? Yeah, who has their sheep
in the front seat of the car anyway?
Well, here, you know, we like to carry our pets around, our mm-hmm. dogs. So maybe in Montana, where men are men and...
Sheep are sheep.
Scared.
I understand that that's a misdemeanor, but it can be moved to a felony if they find a lipstick in the ashtray of the truck.
All right, now it's getting rough. Oh, in Glendale, California, it's illegal to jump in or out of a moving vehicle. Unless you're on a movie set, I suppose.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Long Beach, California, cars are the only thing that's allowed in your garage. Now, that had shut down a lot of people that I know. In San Francisco...
Yeah.
In San Francisco, it's illegal to wipe one's car down with used underwear. I guess new underwear is okay.
Right.
But if you're going to use used underwear, you can't.
Why would they care about that?
It's San Francisco.
Ever, oh, my goodness.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in West Virginia, it is illegal to take roadkill home for supper. It is
no,
legal,
it is
I'm sorry.
Legal.
To take roadkill home for supper as long as the roadkill has been reported within 12 hours.
It's crazy.
Wait, well, this law was passed in 1998 as a cost savings measure. Now, it sparked controversy when animal lovers suggested that some West Virginians would try to run down animals on purpose.
Mm.
Other West Virginians embrace the law and hold roadkill cook-offs that attract thousands of attendees every year.
I can't believe in this day and age that people still eat roadkill.
You seen Deliverance?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Now, listen.
Okay.
Now, listen. If you're hungry.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it just seems like...
I mean, you and I, we're fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And honestly, I'm being really sincere when I say if somebody is hungry, if we were so unfortunate that is our option, you can eat. We're eating it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's all I'm guess saying. So.
On that note,
does anybody else know about any really, really strange laws?
Yeah, they don't even have to
There's
be driving
for
related.
Texas because we're not odd.
And here's the other thing. If anybody has any experience with any strange laws, you might text in and let us know about those.
Yes.
At 43733. If you were arrested or ticketed for jumping into a moving car, say, something like
right.
that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see how somebody jumps into a moving car.
Right, or strapping your
Tom
animal
Cruise
to the top
that.
Of your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil, here for you. 877-881-1053 is the phone number.
That's right.
Or you can fan text us at 43733. And you can even call AutoFlex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. But don't call unless you want to save money. That's the one thing you should keep in mind.
That is true. And also, we were talking about funny laws, mainly funny driving laws, but we opened the fan text up to any kind of weird, strange law you've heard of before. And we're starting to get a lot of them in.
Yes, we are. In fact, one of our, and please remember that these laws are purely the reflection of what our texters are sending us.
We don't know, we have not verified anything.
We don't know if this is true or not. Some of them are pretty funny. One fan texter says, in Florida, it's a misdemeanor to attempt suicide. It's a felony if you succeed.
But who would they press charges against?
I don't think there's much downside to that for you if you make it. So. The next one is a little, and I should have expected this. I have eaten deer that was hit by a car, didn't want the meat to go to waste. Well, there you have it.
And see, I totally understand that,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I say if it's, you know, I'm all about recycling.
We were talking about the West Virginia roadkill law, where as long as you report it within 12 hours, you're allowed to eat the roadkill.
Exactly.
And so I made the comment that. Why would you ever eat roadkill? I guess I was picturing squirrels and birds and stuff like that.
Armadillo.
Yeah, an armadillo.
Right. Yes.
Right. You weren't thinking about a big, venison. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I understand armadillo is good on the half shell. Okay. Not a strange law, but most people don't know this. In Texas, if it's raining and you have your windshield wipers on, you're supposed to have your lights on, too. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Raining or not?
No, I think it's when you're raining, I would assume.
A lot of people do that, but I never knew it was a law.
I didn't either.
In Texas, it's illegal to have a lemonade stand?
It is.
Yeah,
it
that
is?
Was actually yes. on the news. Not
wow, I didn't know that.
They shut down some poor kid's lemonade
Aww.
Stand.
Aww.
You must have a license to operate a business.
That's true. But
it's carrying it a little far.
Yeah.
What if I was selling iced tea?
I don't know. Ooh. I think probably it would still apply. I don't think it's fruit particular. Okay.
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
Is that all of our funny laws?
Let's see. There was an app on the phone for weird laws.
I think that pretty well rounds it out. Yeah.
Some of them are.
That didn't come through well.
Okay. Well, if you have any other ones, feel free to fan text us at 43733. Now, let's talk a little bit about some specialty cars. The Ferrari. And the GTO, or the Ferrari GTO, and some things that are worth more money.
Yeah, it's sort of funny. If you looked at what you did with your money and you went back a few years, you could have invested in mutual funds, you could have invested in the stock market, or you could have invested in some very hard-to-find cars, and then what would have happened to your money? Now, if you were smart enough to invest in a Ferrari 250 GTO, your investment would have grown faster than every other investment that exists on the stock market other than the futures price of gold. That is the only thing that's gone up further than a Ferrari GTO. Only 39 of them were ever made. They were made between 62 and 64. And they now sell for about $30 million each when one runs through the auction.
So what would one cost in 62 or 64, given that there's only 39 of them?
I don't know that for sure. I'm going to guess that car was probably around $100,000.
Okay, so I'm back then,
does anybody
yeah.
know? Do
money.
Any of our listeners know what a 1962 through 64 Ferrari GTO cost back then?
You can fan text in at 43733.
Because now it goes for $30 million, and there were only 39 produced. So it was a specialty car then. It was very expensive. But what did that cost back then?
The other two cars that they mentioned in the article that that this story came from were the Gullwing 300 SL Mercedes.
The Gullwing.
And I saw one of those on the showroom floor of the Mercedes store in Dallas when my grandfather was in there buying his Pontiac, because it was Van Winkle Pontiac Mercedes. They were located on Oaklawn. This was probably 1955 or so. They had one on the showroom floor. If my memory serves, it was $27,000.
Wow.
Which was a huge amount. His new Pontiac was like $3,200 for a big one. So $27,000. It was the most magnificent car I'd ever seen. And you still see those cars, and they go for $3.5-4 million a piece now. The other car mentioned, and this is really sort of a cool deal, was the Shelby Daytona Cobra. And when we were, as Tammy said, when we were in California at a conference out there, we saw one parked on the side of the street at the Monterey Auto Show. And it's the most amazing thing in the world to me, because they only made 9 of them.
Yeah. That so, is impressive.
Yeah.
It was worth millions
it's
of dollars.
Well, at the time, and that was 4 or 5 years ago, they said it was worth $8 million. Now the car is worth $10 million, which means you got about a 25% appreciation on your money in the last couple of years.
And that's in this economy.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess what we need to do is all chip in together and buy some very low production number car. Because none of us could afford one on our own,
right?
And figure out, you know, who we can really trust to, you know,
keep
that we
it.
Can invest that with that car.
Who
are
you going to leave it with?
We put all of our names on the title. Well, we'll have to store it somewhere, and then just watch our investment grow in value over the next 30 years, right?
Here's the thing: cars, for the most part, are never investments,
right? But you have to buy some special car.
If you buy it at Pebble Beach at the auction out there, it may go up in value. But if you think the Mustang that you've got right now, if you put it on blocks and you hold it a long time, it's going to be worth a bunch, you're going to have to hold it more than 25 years.
Right.
I mean, that's the minimum time you'd need to hold a car. And then there would have to be a reason. It would have to be sort of a revolutionary, as people look back, car.
A very special car.
A very special car for it to be worth more money then. So cars aren't investments. Cars are actually expenses.
Right.
You pay for them. They depreciate rather quickly. And then you sell them, and you get whatever's left after the depreciation. That's what we talk about at Autoflex, being the true cost of ownership, the difference in the price and what you pay for it and what you get for it when you sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And the smaller that is, the less the car costs you. So the better the resale value, the better deal the car is.
Look at this. Our texters have told us that GTO commanded a whopping $18,000 in 1962.
Wow. Can that be right? Wow, that's crazy.
Grand Touring Amalgamated, when the new GTO commanded an $18,000 purchase price in the United States, and buyers had to be personally approved by Enzo Ferrari.
So, Farah. $18,000 to $30 million. That's not bad appreciation.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a standard Ford Mustang, no. But if you do go with one of those low production model cars and put it up on blocks, don't drive it, and it is very, very special, and 60 years later,
it may be worth a lot of money.
Unlikely that it's $30 million.
So, well, and so for your grandkids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'll be set. Because we won't be alive, but.
Thanks to the fan testers, by the way.
Yes.
Yes.
Good info, fan testers.
We didn't have time to do all of our research.
That was John and Hurst,
that.
By the way,
thanks,
that sent
John.
Us that information.
Okay, so let's talk about KBB now.
Well, yeah, here's what's happening, and everyone needs to be aware of this if you're thinking about trading your car. We are looking at a spike in the price of cars that get good gas mileage. The smaller the car, the better the mileage. It seems the bigger the price spike.
Yes.
We've seen up to a 20% increase in the price of cars just in the past 30 days for certain cars. And on the other side, we have seen huge drops in value of large cars that don't get good gas mileage. We had a Land Rover that we appraised a month ago, and that car, which we took in trade yesterday, had dropped $4,500 in a month.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And now here's the thing. The guy that traded the car in got another Land Rover. He was not trying to get a car that would give him great gas mileage. He got a Land Rover Evoque, their new model. But the car did drop $4,500 in a month. And the guy that got the car from us actually is an advertiser here on the radio station, too.
Oh.
Really good guy. He's a smart guy. He understands the market. That didn't kill him, but the thing that killed us was that depreciation was there.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to us when we tell you. Don't wait. If you are in the market to get rid of your gas guzzler, do it now before gas keeps creeping up.
Yeah, we're looking at at least another 60 days of increase in gas prices and a decrease in the value of bigger cars. And the other thing is, it doesn't appear that gas is going to like drop way back down again like it did. It may come down again some, but everything I'm reading says that there's going to be a new median. And it may end up being $3.75 or $4 a gallon.
That's where we're going to hover after the summer, because I really feel like after we get through this travel summertime that we're going to go back down again. That's generally how I feel.
Yeah, and it will. It's just not going to go back down again as far as it has.
So
yeah.
Where do you feel like it's going to settle?
I think $3.50 to $3.75 is going to be average.
Okay, and I think $3.25.
So that'll
we'll
be
see
the,
what happens.
The new norm somewhere in between there.
Yeah.
I mean, $3.50, $3.75 sounds accurate.
You going with David?
Is that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Certainly she is.
Tammy's mad at me now.
No, I'm not mad. I'm just turning my back on you.
Oh, no. We got to take a break and I'm going to hide under my desk.
And Waddle, what do you think, Waddle?
Sorry, Tammy.
Oh. And listeners, anybody?
All right,
we'll see what happens by next October.
If you think Tammy's right, text in and say it.
If you hope Tammy's right,
yeah.
Oh yeah, we all hope you're right.
There'll be a whole lot of those.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
Here we go. It's the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. David Blessingame, Tammy Pickard, me, Sybil, here for you. 877-881-1053 is the number, or you can fan text us at 43733, or you can call AutoFlex.
That's right. It's easy, 888-972 or 817-234-1234.
What's our number?
I've only done that once.
How do you spell AutoFlex?
Go to the website, autoflex.com.
Thanks for saving me, Sybil.
You're welcome. Okay, so we've been talking about the Ferrari GTO and the Shelby, was it the Cobra Mustang?
Yes.
Okay.
Close enough.
Mustang Cobra. And how these cars were bought back
in professionals.
The 60s for, you know, $18,000, and now they're worth $3.5 million. And
$30 million.
$30 million
for the Ferrari.
Somebody texted in and said,
$30 million.
That is 1,666% appreciation.
That's true.
If only I were born prior to 62. Wait, no, I'm good with 85. That is good math.
Okay, good fan text questions. Do you think the number of speeding tickets go down as gas prices go up? You know, the only thing I could find during the break looking online was results in Philadelphia. And they said that they saw a 35% reduction in speeding tickets as gasoline prices had ramped up. Now, I don't know if that's an enforcement issue. They're not riding as many. Maybe
because they don't want to chase them.
The police don't like, you know, they're mad at the sergeant or something. But anyway, they've had a reduction in speeding tickets. Also, what
it
do you think?
It does make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the Subaru WRX or STI? I would like to trade in my two-door 2008 Honda Civic for it. I think they're both really good cars. Subaru builds a good car. It's a reliable car. It's a lot different than the Civic.
That's their fun, sporty car.
Yeah.
And you'll get all the money in the world for your 08 Civic.
Right now, he'll get tons of money for that car.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, do it.
If that kind of trade, you'll be better off. If you wait 2 months, you'll get less money, or 3 months, you'll get less money for the Civic than you will right now, probably.
All right. If you have a fan text, you can send it to us at 43733.
So far, one vote for 3.25 for Tammy for gas.
All right. That's just when we're early.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, well, one vote for me, zip for you guys.
All right. From our good friends at the Environmental Protection Agency, they have released their fuel report for the year 2010, which is the last full year they could report on. And they say that gas economy of vehicles has risen to an average of 28.4 miles per gallon for the cars that are being purchased right now. And our CO2 output has gone down to the lowest point since they started recording it in 1975.
Wait, just one sec. One question. EPA is a government agency, right?
Right.
And they just released the report for 2010, right?
Right.
So they're all caught up, right?
Right. Okay. Well, they don't have all the results on 11
yet. I'm just
yet.
Teasing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So anyway, if you looked at CO2 output, they started measuring it in 75. From 75 through 81, it went through a phase where it decreased pretty rapidly because people became aware of it and manufacturers started building cars that put out less emissions. After that, it decreased sort of slowly until 87. And between 87 and 2004, gas prices were low. People weren't worried about them. And actually, the CO2 increased until 2004. Then again, it started down. And over the last few years, it's gone down every year. So maybe the remarkable thing about this for me on the study was that light truck sales have actually gone up in the last couple of years.
Oh, that is interesting.
And the reason that the CO2 emissions have gone down is they're just building more efficient vehicles that do not pollute as much as the old vehicles did.
That's true. They are.
Yeah. So it's good news for the people at the EPA and for all of us in the air we breathe.
And getting a lot of those clunkers off the road.
Yeah.
I think that helped, the cash for clunkers.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
Who loves to sit behind a car that's smoking at a red light?
Right.
That's why I keep my air conditioning on recirculate all the time.
I turn mine off. I mean, I don't even trust the recirculate. I'm like, I still think something's getting in.
Mm-hmm.
I turn off the air, make sure I pull up on all my window things, make sure everything's just tight as it can be, because I'm just positive I'm breathing that in.
Yeah.
Got a fan text here. You guys seriously need to extend your time slot. An hour just isn't enough of my autoflexers. If you would, Bruce Gilbert. Send that to Bruce Gilbert and let Bruce know. He's the program director.
That's very nice.
And the check's in the mail.
It is. Thank you very much, yeah. Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
You know, there's another side to this also, because the new requirements that say that cars were going to have to get double the gas mileage by 2025 that they get now, there's a separate side to the argument that says that's going to drive the cost of automobiles up a great deal. You're going to have a lot smaller car. It's going to cost a lot more for what you're getting. And because the price is going to be higher, a lot of people will put off buying a new vehicle because of the increased cost.
Right.
If they do that, it means they're going to keep driving the vehicle they're driving now that pollutes more longer. So there's a give and take on that, and a cost benefit analysis to look at. Is it better to try to ramp this up that fast, which is going to drive the cost of cars up anywhere from, we've heard estimates from $2,000 to $8,000 a car.
Okay. If you agree with me, raise your hand, honk your horn, flash your lights. Rather than giving a $10,000 tax credit for an electric car or a hybrid, why doesn't the government give a little rebate to everybody for getting a more fuel, a car
yeah.
that's got more better fuel economy, if they trade in whatever they have that has poor fuel economy or is polluting the air, give them a little something. $500, $1,000.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Dragon Slayer, who's texting in right now. I'm going to vote with Tammy on that. You know, if you looked at all of the money that was spent out on the bailouts, if you just divided that up mm-hmm. and gave it to the American public in the coupon to buy a car, it would have been less expensive and no one would have gone bankrupt.
Wow.
Think about it.
Oh, anyway. I just threw up in my mouth a little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got my vote, Tam. This is Dragon Slayer. Any advice on getting a new Camaro? Well... Actually, yes, because I just drove, what was that, the 2SS?
2SS convertible.
We got one, a 2012.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fast.
Now, if you don't have to worry about fuel economy or a budget, I say get it. It's awesome. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh. I only drove it around the block because I don't trust myself. Wow. That was a very exciting car to drive.
That is a 2012 bright red 2SS Camaro with a rally package.
Convertible.
Black leather interior, automatic.
Cool.
It is awesome.
It gets me excited just thinking about it.
And we have that car at Autoflex right now. We got it by sort of a strange thing. A friend of mine knew someone that won the car, and the guy that won the car said, you know what? I'd like to keep it, but it would make more. The car doesn't make sense for me.
Mm-hmm.
So he sold us the car. It's a 2012.
Has less than 100 miles on it.
It is pre-owned. Wow. It's a pre-owned car. It's not brand new because it was registered in his name. It was titled. But it's a brand new, basically, 2012 Camaro 2SS, bright red convertible, black leather with a rally package. It is awesome.
Oh, it's fun.
So if people want to see that in person, is it at the Richardson location?
It's sitting in Richardson, but if you wanted to see it in Arlington, we could certainly get it over to you.
Okay.
And I think the pictures may be online already for that. They were trying to get them online yesterday.
Okay, cool. Autoflex.com to check that out.
That's right.
Another fan text. I bought a 2011 Special Mopar Edition Charger, number 349. Do you think maybe 20 to 30 years down the road, that'll increase a lot in value?
I bet it will. You know, those Mopar.
Yeah. Those Mopar Edition Chargers,
it's a special edition.
And you know what?
Miles down.
And maybe not 20 or 30 years, but 50 or 60 years from now, that would
for
be
sure.
a car that would reflect a time that no longer exists, probably.
Exactly.
Yeah.
By then, we'll have flying cars.
No, that's what they said 60 years ago, and we still don't, so no.
Okay, well, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back with more, so stay tuned to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. Autoflex Lease, oh
yeah. We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Waddle, and me, Sybil. 877-881-1053 is the phone number. If you have a question, now's the time to ask it. We're only here for another 15 minutes or so. But after that, you can always call Autoflex. And David, what are those numbers?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. If you're out of the area, autoflex.com on the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm. Or you can fan text us, as always, 43733.
Which people are doing right now, and this is an interesting text because I bought a 2012 Rubicon Wrangler, fully loaded, about 6 months ago, zero down. Am I going to be too upside down to get a lease with Autoflex? If you were talking about almost any other car in the world...
Maybe.
I would say, but probably not.
Not likely on that Wrangler. They hold their value really well.
They hold their value as well as any car made. The only other car I can think of that even approaches that is the Cooper.
Mini Cooper?
Yeah. Mm. But Wranglers hold their value tremendously well. So if you wanted to trade, here's the other thing. I bet we have stacks of people wanting a Wrangler. In fact, I know we do.
Mm-hmm.
We have inquiries every day. People, do you have Wranglers? Can I get a Wrangler? Pre-owned Wrangler, especially, because it has depreciated a little bit. So you might give one of our offices a call. Let them know what you're driving. They're going to want to see it. The only way to get the most money for your car is to bring it in and let someone look at it. And that's a secret of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They can tell you anything you want to hear over the phone, or we could tell you over the radio, but the realistic thing is get it looked at, get the most for it that way, and that way you know you're making the best deal.
Right. Okay, let's talk about Chevy Volt, because people are interested in electric vehicles, but sometimes they're not always the best thing.
Well, and Chevrolet Volt has announced that they're going to replace 95 charger stations after overheating complaints. Evidently, the original charger stations they put out, they have a 12-foot cord on them, and it was made with 14-gauge wire. And that cord has begun to get really hot and in some cases melt. And melt the plugs. In fact, there was a picture online of a melted plug. So
the chargers, not the station.
Chargers. The chargers, yeah.
Okay, 9,500 chargers.
9,500 chargers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's how many they've sold, really?
All of them.
Okay.
Not the car charger, the charger for the Volt.
Right.
Anyway, they're replacing that 12-foot cord and the charger on all of them. If you're driving a Volt... and you've noticed that your power cord's getting a little warm, you might holler at your local Chevrolet dealer, and he will replace that at no cost to you.
Hmm. Great.
By the way, GM says that this is not a recall. Okay.
Sure sounds like one.
It's just an oopsie.
Well, and that may be because Congress now is ready to raise the fine on manufacturers that don't tell them about recalls in a very short period of time from $17 million to $250 million. They're saying that $17 million is a pittance and that some manufacturers might put off letting them know about a recall to try to cover it up. But if they know it's going to cost them $250 million, then they won't put it off. Now, I'm trying to figure out if they catch GM not telling them about a recall, and we own 38% of GM. What happens when they fine them $250 million?
We're going to penalize ourselves.
Yeah.
But then every time they fine GM, don't we do that now? So anyway. Okay, moving right along.
It's like slapping yourself.
A little bit. All right. There is there's a big controversy going on in Kentucky right now. In fact, the Kentucky Supreme Court is looking at a law which mandates that the Amish must have triangular reflectors on the back of their wagons, their horse-drawn carts. It's a safety issue there. The Amish don't like the color. They say it's too bright. And they don't like bright colors. You know, they all wear black. Mm-hmm. And they also don't like the shape because they said that it could represent the Holy Trinity. So the Amish are against having reflectors on the back of their carts. And there is a traffic law in Kentucky that says you have to have one.
All right. I vote let them have any shape they want. Just have some reflective tape on their wagons.
Yeah.
All right, don't make it be a triangle, mm-hmm. but put some reflective tape. Let it be, doesn't have to be orange. Let it be that white reflective tape. Just let them put something. But listen, you guys don't want to get run over by somebody who's texting while driving, do you?
Okay, here
I
we go.
I don't think they're listening right now.
Yeah, I don't think they're allowed to.
Radios
good
or anything.
Good point. Good point.
Although, I did read a story a while back about...
That was good.
You mean they don't have stereos in those buses? Okay.
Okay, this is just us talking about them, then. We can say anything we want.
I did read a story a while back, it was a few years ago, that a car actually did run into the back of a buggy. So
well,
I wonder if that has to do with why this law is being enforced.
Those why are they going to argue about it? It's silly.
Those buggies, they're black. They're completely black. If they're out at night, there's no way you can see one.
They just need to not be mm-hmm. out at night. Maybe that's...
Well, I think that interferes with their personal freedom, I believe.
Well, I'm saying you go out at night, it's at your own risk.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the poor horses.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
And we don't want to run into them if we don't see them. That's another...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Fantex.
That's
David,
a tough one.
David, do you think that natural gas cars will take over gasoline cars in the next 10 years? I think there's a good possibility we're going to see a whole lot of natural gas cars in the next 10 years. Toyota has announced that they plan on building tens and thousands of natural gas cars, CNG cars, in the next 20 years. And I know that the Chevrolet Silverado and the Dodge Ram pickups are both coming out with a CNG model this next year. Both will have the CNG tanks, and it will take up either half or a third of the bed, according to the model. So it'll take up some of the bedroom. It'll run on compressed natural gas, which is a heck of a lot less money than gasoline. It won't have the range of the gasoline trucks because they won't have the tank size to do that. But they produce no emissions, basically.
Wow.
There's nothing harmful that comes from them. So, and the other thing is CNG, natural gas, is a lot more plentiful than anything else we've got as far as fuel. So it would make sense, a lot more sense than trying to make everybody drive an electric car, mm-hmm. to move to a CNG car. Here's the other thing. The car you're driving right now will run on CNG with very, very little adjustment.
Really?
Yes, everyone's car.
So the cars won't be more expensive, and the gas prices you said would be less because natural gas costs less?
Well, and by the time you set up a distribution, there's a lot of natural gas vehicles currently in operation. Cities have had natural gas vehicles forever because they set up a central filling station where they fill up their CNG vehicles, and it costs a lot less than gasoline. And again, they're non-commuting, non-polluting. You see a lot of city buses are
CNG.
So
it's the biggest battle to overcome with the oil companies?
Yeah, that's a big battle, and also politics, because right now everything we're seeing from the White House is electric, electric, electric. CNG actually makes a lot more sense.
So while we're on the subject of alternative fuels, whatever happened to biodiesel?
Well, biodiesel still exists.
It does. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember Willie Nelson was really trying to spearhead that, and I didn't really ever hear anything about it.
Yeah, well, Willie.
the
he sits around thinking about lots of things.
Yes,
he does.
I saw a picture online of Willie Nelson from 1965 yesterday. He looks like one of the Everly Brothers. He was clean cut. He had his hair sort of slicked back, you know, bouffant style.
Amazing what you got to look
had
like when
guitar.
You go to court all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, he was just a lot younger then. And
oh, it was an old picture.
A lot Laura Miles on him, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was a younger model back then.
That's right.
Okay, finally, maybe one of the most important stories we're going to talk about today. Driver's Ed led you astray.
What?
When they told you to put your hands at 10 and 2, those cars didn't have airbags.
Well, that was back then.
Yeah, this is a serious story because when an airbag deploys, it deploys outward and upward. And if your hands are at 10 and 2, the airbag nails your inner hands and can get your fingers.
Oh.
If you'll lower your hands to 9 and 3, then the airbag will deploy up toward your face as it's supposed to in your chest, but not hit your arms and hands on the way. Couple of things, too. If you do like an arm-over-arm turn like this, mm-hmm. where your hand is passing in front of your body, if you had an airbag deployment then, broken nose, broken facial bones, driving your arm into your face, because those airbags come out at between 120 and 150 miles per hour, and they are being driven by hot nitrogen gas. It's not a friendly deal.
What is going to happen if you're right in the middle of doing your mascara?
Yes.
When that airbag...
It's going to smear
your,
you're going to smear
lose
your makeup.
Your eyeballs.
It'll poke my eye out.
You could lose your eye.
It'll poke my eye out, kid. What if I drive at 6 o'clock with one hand?
I think you're fine then. Again, they deploy outward and upward. So you just don't want the 10 and 2 thing going on.
What if you drive with your knee?
I like most people that are putting on makeup.
What about my feet?
Then you've got really, really weird hips.
What if you're in California, the car's just driving itself and nobody's in there at all?
Not over 60. Not over 60.
That's funny.
Sorry,
okay,
Dave.
So 9 and 3 is the way you need to do it.
9 and 3 is the way to do it. And if you're going to turn... Push, pull. Pull one hand, push the other. Hands on either side at 9 and 3.
What about 4 and 7? I'm kind of comfortable at 4 and 7.
Then
down low.
You go ahead and do that, Tammy. That'll be fine.
There's a lot of people who just do 12 o'clock, too. Yeah. They just hold the top.
Yeah, now
and they lean over on the center console.
Let me tell you, that one could get you hurt, seriously. You know, a good friend of ours was in a wreck probably 10 years ago, and it bruised the heck out of both his arms on the inside because he had his hands at 10 and 2, and they were bruised and burned.
On his wrist?
On the inside of it right here. Look at this, folks, right here.
But he had no internal injuries.
No, airbag saved him from
that
hitting
the
windshield.
Good part.
And the yeah, that was great. But
so
he still
I
got
think
zapped.
I'll take the arm abrasions over the, you know, crushed mm-hmm. lungs.
So if you're into the arm abrasion, stay at 10 and 2. If you don't want that, then move to 9 and 3.
There you have it. All right. AutoFlex is open for your business for the rest of the weekend, or for the rest of the day, excuse me. So if you want to call them, 817 or 972-234-1234. You can always log on to AutoFlex.com, and we'll be back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. For David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard, I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing. Clowns to the left of me. Jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. Yes, I'm stuck.